that your response should be like, oh, well, I can go sin now because there's grace enough for me, is that, you know, your response is like, man, that's the last thing I want to do. I just want to praise Jesus. I just want to worship him with my life. I just want to delight in being obedient. I want to delight in his presence. I want to be in his presence forever and forever. And I want to start right now so that when I get into eternity, when I get there into the heavenly places, I can sit there and be like, wow. I'm glad I didn't waste my time seeking after fleshly carnal things.
Hello and welcome to Laborers Christian Radio. Glenn Valerkamp here with Pastor Mario DiBella.
What's up, brother?
How you doing?
Dude, I'm doing good, man. We just finished up the message of tonight. So
yeah, well, how'd it go? Tell us a little bit about the message, about what you spoke about.
You know, we definitely hit into the what I consider like the road bump of you know, most people's theology, which is predestination.
Yep.
And I've met with many people, and it's caused a lot of heartache and a lot of pain for a lot of people. So my goal tonight was to hopefully comfort those mm-hmm. that have the pain of accepting the doctrine of predestination.
So because it's such a sensitive subject, because there's so many different views and it's caused a lot of pain. I know the first time I heard about it, it definitely made me really just sad, I guess, you know,
yeah,
made
yeah.
me really,
absolutely, brother.
I got really depressed about it, and yeah. it really challenged my faith. So what kind of advice would you have for, I don't know, maybe new believers, maybe encountering this, or right. just anyone, really, just like, what would you advise them to pray about, to seek before and after the message, just some help? What would you
yeah.
say?
Yeah, just to rely on the attributes of God.
Yeah.
That we serve a good God, an amazing God, a just God, a loving God, righteous, and he's perfect.
Yeah.
So, and we should rest in those at all times when we end up in positions of doctrine that we just don't fully understand yet. Mm-hmm. So that's my big encouragement for this message.
And why don't you just briefly describe predestination, just... obviously, you talk about it in your message, just a brief little definition for
okay.
the listener.
Predestination is essentially like you have a destination, right? Mm-hmm. It makes sense. Like this is the end, and you cannot escape the end. Mm-hmm. It is predestined. If it was like, you know, we're all predestined to die.
Yes.
No matter what, you cannot escape the fact that you're going to die. And this is in the sense of eternity, predestination of, you know, heaven, essentially, as sons, right?
Yeah, well, our hope is that you guys keep an open mind during this, you know. You might find something that you don't like, something that contradicts what you previously believed, but know that this is in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
So no matter what you believe, this is biblical.
Amen.
No matter what you think about this message.
I love God's sovereignty.
Yeah. Definitely. we really hope that you enjoy it and that you come away with something good and beneficial to the kingdom.
Yeah, I would like that. Amen.
So you guys have a happy new year, and God bless.
God bless you guys.
Amen. Man, I want to see how amazing he is. Like, it just trips me out that such a powerful, gigantic, mighty, majestic God loves me. And I want to see that so bad tonight. And in verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And an amazing thing is that though Paul is incarcerated and though Paul is in what we would consider a pretty desperate situation, that the way that he starts off the letter is by exalting the Father and exalting Jesus Christ. That the word blessed in the new to the New Testament writers is only a word, is only an adjective for God. Highly exalted, God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see that it says that we have been, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And that's the setup for the rest of the rest of the chapter and following chapters, which is every spiritual blessing. And he does an exposition of this on what the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places are. And in verse 4, we realize one of our first spiritual blessings is that we have been chosen by God. That before the foundation of the earth was laid, that the Trinity was sitting there and was like, yep, that one right there. I'll take it. That clay pot, that earthen vessel, yeah, that's mine. And he chose you, which is such a beautiful thing. And if you remember that I didn't really want to talk about, like, really theology, right, of like, well, what does that mean? I just wanted us to rest in the fact that a mighty God chose us. What an amazing thing. All right, so praise God. So, tonight, just to give us the heads up, we are going to be discussing a very sensitive subject. A subject that I've actually sat with people who'd cried over this subject. It's predestination. I know. It is a subject that I've wrestled with tremendously and comforted people who have struggled with the concept, with all of it. And we definitely need to pray, man, before we get into this, because like I want all of our hearts, I want us to leave here. I don't want like to be like, well, you better accept predestination before you leave here. That's not the point. Is that I want us all to be just more comforted by God and knowing that he's good and knowing that he's in control, and praise God that he is. But we need to not shut our minds off, right? Because that can so quickly happen on subjects we don't like to hear, really. And I know, because I'm there for sure. And hopefully just get a better grab of this idea. So let's pray for the grace of God to be upon us. Agree? Amen. Okay. Lord, as we approach your throne, Lord, to hear directly from you, Lord, may your spirit pour out upon us. May you just ignite us and ignite a desire deep within our hearts to seek your face and your face alone, Lord. May you just overflow onto us with your love, Lord, so we may exhale your grace, Lord. May you be here with us, Lord. May you just fill this room with your glory, with your presence, with your just awesome power, Lord, and change us, Lord. Captivate us, Father. Speak to your children. Show us your face, Lord. May we just get a glimpse of it, Lord. Hide us in a cleft of a rock, Lord, so we may see your glory as you pass by, Father. May we just get to experience a tiny taste of heaven tonight, Lord. Bless your children, Lord. Thank you for loving us, Lord. Thank you for giving us your holy Bible, Lord. Thank you for breathing on these pages, Lord. Thank you for being such a mighty and such a great God. You are so good to your children, Lord. Thank you, Father. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so before we start, at the end of verse 4, if you read it, it says, and without blame before him in love. There's many other versions that actually translate the end of verse 4 being at before him. So there's a period after before him. Does that make sense? Okay, good. Can we turn on these like lights more over here, please? Like, you guys are all in the dark and I'm not liking that. So, all right, great. Okay, so do we get that? It says before him, period, and then in has a capital I. Does that make sense? Okay, because we need to grab hold of this idea that this in love, having predestined to adoption as sons, is attached to there. Now, it's obviously a very debated subject, but knowing the goodness of our God and knowing who he is that the we could say that the period starts there, and many scholars agree that the period would actually start there. And you're sitting there thinking, like, well, why is there debate to begin with? Well, it's because verse 3 to 14 is probably one of the longest sentences in Greek you can find. It's crazy. Some scholars call 3 to 14 like a masterpiece in Greek, while others say it's just completely crazy, right? My opinion, I believe it's a masterpiece, right? That it's just Paul so just overflowing in the Spirit that he can't help but to just give Christ and give God and his proper place, that he just keeps on going and going and going and going. And it's kind of like the beginning of preaching, right? Where the pastor has a sentence that lasts like, I don't know, 35 minutes, and he finally takes a breath, right? And so you're like, oh, wow. So it's biblical for a pastor to have a long sentence. And so praise God for that, right? So that's where we're at right now. We need to make sure that we grab onto that this is in love, that when he says in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself. All right, so we got the big word, right? Predestined. Like I've said, I've spent many times with people, you know, very distraught over this idea of predestination, and to a certain extent, I understand, you know, because it requires like some logic that we just don't get, and I think that the core of it is fear. It's a fear that God possibly isn't good. That when you introduce the idea of predestination, the next question that always comes to me, because I say, like, hey, yo, check it out, I believe in predestination because it's biblical. They'll be like, well, you believe, you know, people are predestined to go to hell then? And I was like, what? I was like, I didn't say that, you know. But I do believe in predestination. but it's like that's the question that it brings up. Is that it brings up, well, then if the believers, the elect, were predestined, then our conclusion is that the non-believers are predestined to go to hell. And that stirs up emotions in us that come out of fear that maybe my God isn't good. And let me just comfort you. He is, and what a blessing it is that he is, right? And now there are people who believe in dual predestination, and they can believe that, I guess. But I do believe that it's against the character of God for dual predestination for people to go to hell. But that's what we're gonna talk about. My goal for this. This is my goal, right? I know people that won't talk to, okay, we're going to get like, just get into this. Okay, here we go. Oh, I hate these words. Okay, who knows what Calvinism is? Well, good. Who doesn't? Well, even better, right? Okay, so if you don't know what Calvinism is, praise God. But check this out. What it is, it is basically this theology that talks about predestination being absolute. That's absolute predestination. That in all reality, when you came to faith, that it wasn't, you had a part in it, but in all reality, you were always going to come to faith no matter what. It was going to happen. It's predestined, done, God working inside of you, God regenerating you, and you were like, boom, faith. And that's really what Calvinism is. And I know people who are, you know, very, very intelligent people who are, you know, really staunch, full-blown, five-point Calvinists. And, they're amazing men of God. But what happens is that because they have this view that we don't have a choice, that we don't have a choice in salvation, people just don't want to talk to them. Right, that people actually avoid conversations with certain beliefs and theology, that actually, like, well, you know, he's a Calvinist, so I'm just really going to, he's going to stay over there. I'm going to stay over here. Okay, because he doesn't believe I have a choice. And I have a choice, okay? And like, I'm serious. I've had conversations with people like this, and I'm like, wow, where's that in the Bible, you know? But it's true. And so my goal tonight, when we talk about this for this little section of the message, is that hopefully you can leave here and be like, well, I understand why they have that view. And, you know, I shouldn't have that big of a problem with them having that view. And so we can watch the body unify, right? And Christ's body is always unified despite no matter what, but like the actual physical church unified, because there's nothing worse than when you see it on Facebook or you see it in public, when you just see two Christians going at it about two different, you know, beliefs, and people are watching like, wow, like these people are supposed to be brothers according to what they say, and they look like they hate each other, right? And I've been there, okay? So, but that is essentially my goal tonight. Like I said, it's not to convince you of predestination, but it's hopefully you can leave with just more comfort to be able to at least talk to people who believe in absolute predestination. Is that cool? Can we do that? Okay, well, it sounds like fun to me. Okay, so let's open up to Romans 8:28, right? Let's go there. Let's go to Romans 8:28, 8:29. This is where the lot of the controversy lies in predestination. All right, you ready? Here we go. So it says, first of all, these are like praise God verses, so amen. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. Okay, so I'd love to be able to break this down on a huge basis, but it would take, you know, it would take a series of each verse. But what we need to really understand is that verse 29, a big you know, proponent of trying to understand predestination, is that they say that for whom he foreknew, he also predestined. Okay, so there's one side, there's this one view of this word foreknew, which is like foreknowledge. Okay, it's this idea that God can see into the future, and he saw that you were going to choose him, and because you chose him, he predestined you. It was like, does that make sense? Like, he saw you, you said yes, God followed up and said predestined. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. That's one of the views out there. And you know, it's a good view. Like, I don't have a problem with it. The only problem, I guess, like, because I'm not going to sit here and give you an authoritative teaching on this. Does that make sense? Because last thing I need is people running around being like, yeah, Mario taught me this, and this is what predestination is. And I'm like, yeah, don't do that, okay? I'm going to be held accountable for what I teach, and so I'm not going to teach this with authority in any way. And the reason why I'm not going to is, I kind of alluded to it already, is that there is very intelligent men who do not interpret that verse to be that God looked forward and then predestined. Like men who are great exposition teachers of the Bible, have a very good view and handle of Scripture, and they say that's not what that says. Something really interesting that they point out is, and what I can see there is to those who are called according to his purpose, and we find out in verse 30 that these are actually people who are predestined. So the introduction of predestination happens before they talk about the foreknowledge. Right, so I can't sit there and say that this is the correct view. You can have that view, and that's fine, but I'm not going to teach it as that is the view. What I'm going to teach it as is basically like, man, praise God that I don't have to. You know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry, right? I do praise him and praise him for the fact that he's like a lot greater than me, right? A lot. And that I'm just going to be straight up, and I'm just going to be like, yo, it's to me, it's a mystery. It is. I'm not at a point by any means to tell you what to interpret this correctly. And I don't know if I'll ever be at that point, but currently I am not at that point to teach it with authority. But I'm going to pose a question, and we can just like kind of play around. Is that cool? Okay. What if God did predestine people, like, absolutely? Right? Because let's say it's there, right? We just read in Ephesians, it says, whom he predestined, right? And we look at this, and it says predestined again. And the ones that are predestined were justified and glorified, you know, by Christ. So what if he did? Right? What if he did absolutely? Let's go back to Ephesians. Is it a very hard thing to fathom? Right? Is it a very hard thing to fathom that God could predestine people? And this is the one thing I want to help out is that, now let's pay attention. When we have a problem with an action of God, we must grab hold of the attributes of God. Does that make sense? When we have a problem thinking like, well, I have a problem with this idea of absolute predestination, what we shouldn't do is hold on to this, well, this doesn't seem morally correct, or this doesn't seem morally refined. And what we need to do is that we need to say, let's grab on to the attributes of God. Does that make sense? Because out of God's attributes come his actions, right? Very biblical. Out of our heart comes forth our actions, correct? So out of God's heart comes forth his actions. So even if God did predestine people, according to Jeremiah 9:24, is that God is loving, praise God. He is righteous and he is just. Okay, so no matter if God absolutely predestined us believers to believe, he by no means would ever compromise those three. Does that make sense? Like, however he does it, right? However he predestines people, he's still able to remain loving. He's still able to remain righteous and remain just. And we rest in that. If you're having a problem understanding predestination, be like, well, praise God, he's loving, righteous, and just. And he will never compromise his holiness, never compromise his perfection for anything. He cannot go against himself before he's immutable. Praise God. Amen. That we can just rest in that even if absolute predestination is absolutely correct and they are the view of that theology is absolutely right, that we can rest in the fact that he's loving, just, and righteous, and he can honestly think at a higher, way higher level than we can even comprehend. So I'm pretty sure he can predestine while remaining loving, just, right, and righteous. Amen. Praise God. That's exactly what's up, right? All right, so we just need to rest and not worry about these things anymore. Amen? Amen. Let's get on to some. We just got done with the theology. Is everyone's head okay? Okay, my head's okay. All right, so let's continue to read, right? So it says, having predestined us in love, right? He stayed in love, which is a bigger point. Predestined us to adoptions as sons by Jesus Christ. The God of the universe predestined you to become sons and daughters by the agency of Jesus Christ. What an amazing thing, right? It's so awesome. Let me tell you a story. You guys want a story? Okay, great. So we go to the skate park all the time, and we evangelize there, and the Holy Spirit's moving there. And there's this little kid. His name's Nico. We know Nico, right? Yeah, he knows Nico, right? And so the kid weighs about, I don't know, 75 pounds. Okay, so he's tiny. He's about 12 years old. And we come up, and he comes up kind of like in this, like, panic, right? And I'm like, what's going on, Nico? And he's like, this kid took my scooter. And I was like, what? I was like, how did he take your scooter, you know? Like, that doesn't make sense to me. And he's like, well, he wanted to trade with me. And I ended up just trading with him, and he gave me a worse scooter. And he ended up like kind of, you know, and I was like, you got punked. He's like, yeah. And I was like, man, that sucks, you know. And he's like, but don't worry, I called my dad. And I was like, all right, this little kid weighs like 75 pounds. I was like, this dad's going to come and he's going to be like, you know, the same size. You know what I mean? I have no idea. And I was like, I wonder how this is going to go down. I was praying, Lord, I just pray this goes okay. You know, last thing I want to see is like, you know, a grown man get told no by a 15-year-old that he's not going to get a scooter back. And then it's just like weird, you know? And so I was like kind of sitting there thinking like, okay, you know, all right, Nico, you're going to call your little dad to come over here and that's going to be fantastic, you know? And so then we're sitting there, we're all sitting there, and we're like, okay, when is dad coming? He's like, my dad's here. And he's like all excited and all like, you know, totally emotions change. My dad's here. And I was like, great, dude. And I look over and I see like a straight up like the Chrysler like C300 with gigantic rims. I'm like, okay, this is weird. And I was like, how's, you know, what's going on here? And the dude pulls up and then he hops out and he's just this monster dude that I'm like, that's your dad? I was like, man, that kid's in trouble, bro. I was like, I'm sorry, that kid is in trouble with you, man. Your dad is that big? I was like, yeah. I'm like, don't worry, bro, you'll get your scooter back. I was like, yeah, that's a big dad right there. And you know, and he obviously, they, and you know, He was not like a, he didn't look like a friendly looking dude. He was a scary looking dude too. So not only he's big, he was scary. So I was like, wow. And it's just so interesting that we can see the same correlation with God, right? That we're little. We are so little. And we are very, very weak. But we have such a powerful God. He is so, so, so mighty. That it's just incomprehensible, like that we can actually think of how actually powerful. And that should be a very comforting thing, because just like Nico, when he was sitting there, he's like, I'm going to get my scooter back because my dad's coming. And it's just like that in our lives. No matter what you're going through, remember that your dad is gigantic and he is for you and he is not against you. And praise God, because you have been predestined as sons and daughters of the Most High God by the agency of Jesus Christ, and not by your works, but all by God. Amen. Amen. So whatever you gave, give it up for the Lord, brother. That's what I'm saying, man. And we should find so much comfort in this, right? That the same God, the one who parted the Red Sea, is your Father. The same God who actually stretched out the heavens with his own hand is your Father. The one who actually, who spins those electrons around that nucleus, which contains so much power, and he holds it together in his hand, that if he let it go, we would just have the explosion and implosion, and we would see everything would turn into flames and dust. That is your Father, and he's on call at any time. Amen. Anything you're going through, you have a really big daddy. Amen. All right. So he is the one who crushed the head of the serpent for you. For you. He crushed it for you. He is the one who is in control of the universe. He's in control of it. Make no mistake, he is sovereign. He's the one that counts the beat of your heart. He's the one who wipes the tears from your eyes. He's the one who made you from a slave to a son. He's the one who is clothed in power, righteousness, grace, and love. Your Father is in no Chrysler. He's seated on a mighty throne, surrounded by heavenly beings, fire around it, lightning protruding forth. The darkness must flee in the presence of our mighty God. And Romans 8 says nothing can separate us from the love that is in Christ Jesus, and we need to take hold of that. Nothing can. Absolutely nothing. Because you're a son and a daughter by faith in Christ. God is so powerful that everyone is to stand in silence in his presence. That's your father. That's your dad. What a blessing to have to be called the son of the Most High God. God's good, amen. Amen. And he's on a throne and he is in charge, man. Give it up for God, brother. Praise God. Praise God, man. He's so good. Praise you, Lord. Lord, just take care of your children right now, Lord. Comfort us as we sit here, Lord. Comfort us as we continue through the message. Invigorate us, Lord, as we continue to hear your word go forth, Lord. Continue to bless us in this time in Jesus' name. All right, so we're not done. Everyone's like, yeah, we're done. Like, nope, not yet. So get ready, right? And I was like, prayer already? No, okay. So it says, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, Jesus Christ being the agent, not yourself. You're not the one being a son, making you a son. It's Jesus Christ being that agent. According to the good pleasure of his will. Now that trips me out. According to the good pleasure of his will, that God actually delighted. He delighted, he found pleasure in choosing you as a son and daughter. Can you believe that? That it was a delight. He actually delighted in it. He was actually satisfied with that decision to be like, yep, mine, yes. That he wasn't sitting there being like, well, I want to show my power, and he did show his power, and that's part of it, but no, there's more to that. There's emotion attached to that, that God actually delighted when he chose you, right? He delighted in it, and the word in the Greek actually has connotations of like warmth and emotion behind it, that it wasn't something like you just type in, like, delight, click that person. No, it's like he was sitting there like, yes, you know? Like, this is my future daughter. This is my future son. Like, I'm so excited to bring this son and daughter. I'm so excited to bring them into my presence, into my kingdom, call them a son, throw clothes and garments on top of them, and glorify them in heaven so that they may just sit around and we may enjoy eternity in the presence of God. Amazing that, right? I don't get it. Why do you want to... I legitimately don't understand that, just let everyone know. Like, why would he delight in this? And this is the thing that like trips me out and brings reverence to my heart, is that though he knew I'd be disobedient as a son, though he knew I would not always obey the Father, but choose my own desires, he still delighted in it. I don't understand it, but thanks be to God that he does delight in it. And that's enough for me. Amen. All right. Man, God is good. So then it goes on, and we're on verse 6 now. To the praise of the glory of his grace. Yeah, let's read it again, right? To the praise of the glory of his grace. Other translation has it as, to the praise of his glorious grace. That when he predestined us, and it was in his, according to his goodwill and pleasure, it was to the praise of the glory of his grace, that he is to receive praise for his glorious grace that he poured out on everyone's life. See, now, I've had it wrong, just to let everyone know. Yeah, believe it or not, I'm a pretty big sinner. Straight up, okay. And now here comes the ladder, right? You guys ready for this? Okay. Okay, so one big thing that was in my life, and I don't know if you knew me, but you're kind of getting to know me now, is that I would... I would only talk about, like, you know, sin from, like, way back in the day, right? I would only talk about things that were struggles, like, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, a year ago, 6 months ago, because I was always scared, right? I was scared of tarnishing Christ's name. I was scared that when people would look at me and they'd be like, well, that man is inferior as a preacher, and now, according to this verse, is praised to be to God that I'm inferior, and it's because I want his grace to receive praise. And that's where it's all at, right? I had it all wrong. I was sitting with a brother, and when I had this revelation, that I'm like, okay, I was like, Lord, how does your glorious grace receive praise? Let me know. And he said, you cannot hide your sin. How is God's grace supposed to receive praise if we don't even talk about the grace that we need? But it's so easily quickened that we could be like, well, I just don't want to tell anybody the things that I struggle with or the problems that I have. And I'm just going to help you guys out so you can be like, yeah, I was at laborers, and yeah, Mario, yeah, he's a big sinner. So, you know, and I was going to help you guys out with that, all right? So here we go. So this is what we got to do in our lives. So here we go. I got a little flashlight. Okay, it's not very bright, but can you see it? Right. And if I had it on the ground right here, can you see it? No. Well, some people can in the front, right? Somebody's getting hit right in the face right here. Okay, so you're all right? It's almost done. Okay, but you in the back, you can't see it, right? You cannot see. That's a pretty good one. You cannot see. Can I get that one? Yeah, let me get that one. All right, we got a better light, praise God. Because I was like, that is weak sauce. All right. There you go. It's just on top. Okay, great. Okay, so we have this like super bright LED, right? And obviously when it's down here, we can't see it. And that's what we do when we don't talk about our sin. God's grace cannot receive praise. And the thing is that his glory is oftentimes referred to as light. So this actually makes more sense in terms of what's going on. So let's see what's going on, right? So let's go. Unforgiveness. This just isn't, oh, I have a problem forgiving somebody, you know, that's something, you know, I had a problem forgiving somebody of the past. No, it's like right now, I have a problem forgiving somebody. Straight up, it's a very sinful thing, but I have a problem, and it would be so easy to sit there and to be like, well, you know, I'll just say, yeah, I forgive that person. But if my heart is not behind it, it doesn't matter. It's vain, right? Extremely vain. So, all right, so we go up and we see like another nasty sin. Unloving. More and more people can start to see the light, though, agreed? More and more people can give it praise, but we're not there yet. I definitely have hurt many, many numerous of people, man, just by not being a loving person. And if I ever hurt you in this room because I wasn't loving, you know, forgive me, you know, I'm a sinful man.
Well, praise God, right? Okay.
Give praise to his grace, right? Praise God. Okay, so there you go. We got one person in here. All right. Idolatry. Believe it or not, I have fallen into idolatry. And just let everyone know, if you've been in ministry, be careful, because you can fall into idolatry of that, right? And, you know, keep God the focus, right? Oh, the good one, pride. Anybody seen this one? Anybody have that one, right? Okay, let's keep on going. All right, so I have a problem being transparent, and this next one is actually kind of hard, because I want God's grace to be praised, okay? And it's legitimately the only reason I'm up here, and the reason why I want to paint this picture for you is so that you feel more inclined to admit the things that you have done, so that God's glorious grace may receive praise. There's nothing more that I want in my heart than God's grace to be praised by man. And there's nothing more that I want than it to be as high as possible in each person's life so that people around you can say, praise be to God that you have been forgiven. And man, I can't wait to taste the forgiveness that you have. So this is why this is going on. So let's get pride, right? Like, you know, we got blessed this Saturday at the skate park that two kids got healed. Crazy, huh? I know, power of God. I know, just pouring out at the skate park. It was amazing. I was like, wow. And the next one, one kid got baptized. So praise God, right? We were just like, oh, God's grace, glorious grace is being praised, poured out on everyone there. It was amazing. And so the next day, like, I started realizing, like, okay, this is kind of a scary thing for me, because I was like, Lord, show me how much grace is required for me to do what I've done. Show me how much grace is required, because I was like, I don't want to get puffed up. I don't want to get prideful to be like this. And so let's just get real. Like I said, there are times when I would sit there afterwards, and I was like, there's people who have obviously left, like Laborers Christian Fellowship, and God bless them, right? But like, when people are getting healed and the Spirit is falling, I'm kind of like, you know. Man, I bet they're upset they missed out. You know what I mean? Like, you know, just like, you know, just super prideful about it, right? Like, I bet they want to come back or something like that. You know, it's just extremely sinful, right? And it happened a couple times afterwards. And then God, like, when I was praying to show me the grace, He said, "That's how much grace you need. That I knew you would be sinful over the action that I did, but I still poured out my grace on you to allow you to participate in my work." And I was like, that's a lot of grace. And the thing that I realized is that God gives me the grace to pick up the scythe, right? Which is the thing that cuts wheat. God gives me the grace to pick up the scythe. He gives me the faith to throw the scythe in the wheat. And He directs the blade. But it all stemmed from grace. So there you go, right? I want His grace to receive praise. Oh, yep. Sorry, guys. Like I said, as a man, we battle with these things, and only by His grace and by the power of His Holy Spirit can any of us overcome these things. Amen. Amen. And then the one that I struggle with, hate. You know, according to Jesus, that means I murder. One of the hardest things, like I said, is to do this. But I'll do it. So that everyone can give praise and everyone can see how much grace is required of me. I am so enthralled and so enamored by God's grace that I want to put it up here. That I want to go over the flesh and go against society that says, well, hey, check this out. Pastors shouldn't be admitting that. People who speak the word should not be admitting these things because, you know, like you have to be pure. And I'm like, no, because I want God's grace to be praised. And the only reason I'm up here is because of God's grace that I'm even here, man. And I'll put it up here every single day, only by His grace, so that it may receive praise by others, and so that they may be more inclined to just exalt that grace in their lives. Praise be to God. Praise be to His glorious grace. Amen. Amen. I got to be careful, right? Fall down, that'd be great. Oh, no. But expose your sin. It's okay. I know. By no means am I better than anybody in here. Be all right. God's grace is enough. There's a lot of it. And it's because Christ is so precious and his payment was so large that his grace goes beyond. All of those sins. I want God's grace, his glorious grace, to be praised. I want it on high in all of our lives. By which he made us accepted in the beloved. How were you accepted in the beloved? God made you accepted in the beloved. I've heard a lot about that God's love is unconditional, right? Have we heard that? And praise God that it is. It's very unconditional. But this is why. That even though you slip up, and even though, believe me, this is not the list, right? I need a very large ladder of all the sins that I have messed up on. But here's the thing. The reason he still loves me is because I'm within the beloved. The reason he still loves you and the reason why his love doesn't stop or doesn't hinder it is because of your faith in Christ. He views you with the lens of Christ. He sees you as the beloved, his utmost affections are for his own son. And because you're in him, man, you're so loved. That even when you slip, make a mistake, he still loves you. And it's not like this idea of like, because sometimes we get this unconditional love definition from earth, which means the people who unconditionally love me, well, they have times when they kind of hate me, but yet they love me type of thing, you know what I mean? Anybody been there? Okay, because I've been there. But God's not like that. That his emotions and his affections to you are still the same yesterday, today, with your faith in him and forever because you're in Christ, not because of your actions. Praise God. When we hear about this glorious grace, when we hear about predestination, when we hear about being adopted, you know, there should be a response to it, right? When I hear that God has forgiven me and loves me no matter what I have done, it's like my desire for those things, my satisfaction of those things, they actually diminish. And that's that should be the proper response. The proper response is not like, oh, sweet, forgiven, I'm going to go out there, it's going to be awesome, and sin. That is not the proper reaction. That you should sit before the heavenly throne and you should sit before his glory and praise his glorious grace that he took a sinner. He took one that would be disobedient. A new slave, one that is free, but one that is so disobedient, and he loves you despite what you do. That your response should be like, oh, well, I can go sin now because there's grace enough for me. Is that, you know, your response is like, man, that's the last thing I want to do. I just want to praise Jesus. I just want to worship him with my life. I just want to delight in being obedient. I want to delight in his presence. I want to be in his presence forever and forever. And I want to start right now so that when I get into eternity, when I get there into the heavenly places, I can sit there and be like, wow. I'm glad I didn't waste my time seeking after fleshly and carnal things. But I sought God's face, and I delighted to do it. This is the thing, is that when you realize how much grace God has given you, it doesn't become like this big yoke on, oh no, I can't sin. It's like, praise God, I can't sin, right? Amen. Like, he is way more satisfying than sin ever could be. And let me just help you out. Wow, he is. Man, I said it last time, I'll say it again. Taste and see that the Lord is good. He is very, very, very good. That the fact that he would take something so broken and he would place it into something so perfect, which is his son. And because of that, his love and affections towards you do not change. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for tonight, Lord. Thank you for the grace you have given all of us, Lord. Thank you for the beauty that you have given us with salvation, Lord. Thank you for what you have done on the cross. Thank you for choosing us, Lord. Thank you for placing us already in heavenly places, Lord. Seated with Christ. Lord, continue just to bless the rest of tonight. Continue to bless this worship. May we all just rest in your grace and have our hearts changed by your Holy Spirit so we may see your face. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's all stand.